Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to kicking off this year of Buddhas and Butterflies. We're doing year number six. Welcome to all the new folks, and thank you so much for being here. As we head into this year, we're going to be working with the five koshas, and rebirthing you is our theme. So as we go into things, we're going to head into working very, very briefly with some of the theory. I wanted to devote most of our time today to getting into a session. I've gotten a few interesting messages, so I'd like to devote my time to that primarily. And I'll kind of sprinkle in the theory so it doesn't get too heavy at any one point in time. So essentially, the five koshas are the five layers, primary layers in the body, mind, soul, spirit, that create a sense of distortion. In other words, a sense of inaccuracy in how you're perceiving the truth of the reality around us. So if we're projecting onto another versus owning our stuff and being accountable for what it is we're experiencing, that is an easy primary way that we can look at distortion. And those subtle layers of distortions that go beyond even what we talk about in the five koshas would be getting into the tattvas, if anybody's in yogic philosophy, familiar with that realm. I'm not an expert in the yoga realm. I did do my yoga teacher training about 20 some years ago, and I love the theory. And also, I know that there's people who devote like their entire lives to just one of these topics, the tattvas, the koshas, etc. So, having not suited myself into that degree, I'm going to invite us to keep in mind that there's many different ways of looking at these concepts. So there's all sorts of different expressions around this that are out there, and I'm going to keep things incredibly simple. So we're going to talk about the five layers of existence, being the level of spirit, soul, then going into the mental body, the emotional body, and then into the physical form. Okay. So as we work with that, I like to think of the three last layers, the mental, the emotional, the physical, the realm of the human, and then the soul and the spirit, the realm of being. And I think that the interesting area is the connection between the being and the human realms, and how is it they are relating to one another. So when we work, you're going to often hear the relevance of that coming into whatever's coming up around our sessions. So I'll be primarily coloring it through that lens in these sessions. And to overlay that with birth, as I think of the entrance of soul, spirit, the being realm, into the human as being our opportunity to be born or reborn. There's actually a developmental stage in adulthood that happens, well, anywhere after 21 years old, typically speaking, depending upon our culture. Many people, most people, the vast majority of our culture, doesn't actually go through that particular developmental layer. And not required, not required. It's an opportunity to get to know more about ourselves. And it also tends to come with a fair bit of disruption in our lives. So this isn't like a everyone must go through that layer of rebirthing. We're going to be doing it more so from the perspective of the little mini rebirths that happen. And in essence, those become preparation if that layer is faced at some point in our lives. So the thing that I'm talking about there in a nutshell will be referred to as awakening. Or Dr. John Veltheim used to say that after you took module three, your heart was open, meaning that you understood a little bit more potentially about the truth of reality if you were able to apply those concepts in a deep, meaningful way for ourselves. And quite frankly, for most of us, that takes a journey of a lifetime. The mystics, the poets, the different cultural indigenous regions, and the leaders in those areas tend to have a different perspective on this, in that this is an area of maturity. And as we move into elderhood, as we move into elderhood, it was one way of saying this, we have a unique relationship between our conditioning, who we think that we are, who we were raised to be, and the truth of who and what we really are. being beyond that. The challenging thing in our modern society is that most of us were not raised by fully formed adults, meaning they haven't gone through that last layer of developmental, well, last layer of development. And because they haven't reached adulthood, they, in the fullest expression of that word, they weren't necessarily able to pass it on to us. So there's a bit of lost wisdom that can happen within that. So this is the pattern that is potentially the affliction of our modern day world. Yeah. So this is not a small thing as we move into this territory. I'm not going to belabor these points too much more. But the areas where the missing gaps are can be found, typically speaking, within the layers of distortion through the five koshas, and particularly in between the being realms and the human realms. Okay. Let me. My head is flooding with some different ideas of which way to go next. So, let me invite us all just to again make any little shifts. Getting yourself comfy and cozy. If you could make yourself 2% more comfortable, what would that look like? Then I'm going to invite you to turn your attention to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to take in life. To receive. To really connect to what inspires us. Literally every breath, an inspiration. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. To simply allow. Meaning we take our hands, our grip of control and will, just ever so slightly, a little bit looser, just 1%, just 1%. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to really savor that, to really be mindful about how you're drinking that in. And on that note, some of you have heard this explanation a couple times recently. We're going to orient our brain to things that are, in other words, out of its normal path as we take our attention to the realm of pleasure or even simply neutrality. The brain simply tends to be on a one-way track of noticing the problems, the issues, what's wrong, the challenges of life. As we begin to retrain it, it actually will begin to, over time, slowly be able to take in its surroundings in a different light. And as we continue to engage in these practices, potentially outside of these weeks, then throughout your days, what that means, the more opportunities you have to begin to retrain that. So I invite you to take a moment to look around your space, whether that's external or internal, eyes open or closed, whatever feels right for you. And as you take a look around, we're locating anything again in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And once you've landed on that thing that's pleasant to neutral, I invite you to notice what it is you like the most about that thing, It might be the color, the shape or size, the way that the light and the shadow play with it. And all those qualities and whatever else arises afterwards, continuing to mindfully savor them, much like you would a piece of really yummy chocolate. As you do that, I wonder what's happening in the body mind as a response. How does the body seem to be responding? Excuse me. And any responses that are also pleasant and neutral, the invitation is to savor those as well. Drinking that energy all the way through. And savoring all of that goodness in every way, shape, form that it's showing up in these moments for you. As you continue to do that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being here simply as you are. Thank you to all that's gone into this sweet opportunity to connect and be together in these ways. Thank you to the families that created you, the ancestors that created your family, and the lineage that created the ancestors. The deepest of thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands, that have supported us all, and will continue to nourish the existence of those yet to arrive. Thank you. Blessings for your intentions, for your journey this morning. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. Okay. Interestingly enough, this is not a usual starting point. We're working with a particular line on the right side of the body, which is the side of the body that's more masculine or prone to taking action. And it's around the consciousness of retrieval, and specifically retrieval of your sense of power. Being able to retrieve your sense of power, to relocate that locus of power as being in here versus potentially we think of it as being out there. Which might be the actually crux of the whole human condition and the split between being and human. And here, there's a very specific line, not from body talk, but from transformational breath work, that is not quite at the outside edge of the body, but in a couple of inches. And this particular line works with power. As we work with retrieval of your sense of power, we're going to run lymphatic drainage all the way through this line. Cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. We're going to link that all into the astrological 12th house. In astrology, they think everything goes through 12 phases or houses. The 12th house is the house of endings, releasing, surrendering, making space, allowing. It's also the house of the liver. And if we think of that line, line number four there, going all the way down, it actually passes all the way through like the, well, not the very outside edge of the liver, but in a little bit. It's going all the way through the line, in essence, crosses through the liver region. And as we work through the physical organ of the liver versus its meridian flow, its pattern of qi flow, we're looking at the various different contractions, adhesions, twists, torques in the fascia through here. And related to that, there's a fair amount of belief systems that we should be ashamed of our power. Like, shame on you for thinking that you could have power or should have power. Or the times where you've acted with power are shameful. And as we work with this, doing an emotional release of anger, particularly frustration, the type of frustration where you almost cry, like the near to tears type of frustration. And in part, it's around this theme of not feeling very like taken into consideration by other people's perceptions of you. Not being considered, and potentially even like not being re-measured is another way that I would say re-evaluated, as other people are turning towards you from their standard way of seeing you. They can't always take in the changes that you've undergone. And there's a little bit of confusion, there's a bit of misperception. And I think of those misperceptions as, in a way, subtly reinforcing your sense of self connected to those old identities that you're attempting to shed, and that gets a little bit sticky. It's a sticky territory, as it becomes a bit of a dance between how other people are seeing you and how it is you know to yourself to be internally inside of yourself. In a nutshell, we could just call it misperception, so the frustration around being misperceived. And that can also extend into other realms and layers without that precise wording that I used before, to include things like wanting to be witnessed. Well, that's kind of what I said earlier, isn't it? Let me see if I can find a different way of saying that. I'm not sure that there might be actually. So just different ways that you've been misperceived, different ways where that's led to irritations, frustrations, and strong emotion to the point of tears, even. And that in turn is linking all the way down through to the right leg. And it's carrying with it the sense of like someone cutting the legs out from underneath you, if they're not like really seeing you and witnessing you for you. Here is another interpretation of misperception. This is also looking at how you are misperceiving yourself based on potentially taking other people's opinions into consideration too strongly. And not necessarily looking at ourselves from the very center of us, but rather looking at ourselves from other people's perceptions and ideas. Okay, so through this right leg, we're working with literally giving you like a leg to stand on that's actually in alignment with the truth of who and what you really are. And it might sound odd to think of this, but we're going to do this a lot. We're working within the mental realm. Even though we're in the physical body part, think of the mind and the body as having a whole lot of overlap, far more than we might have ever given them credit to be perceived as. That's part of the misperception. And in essence, every part of your body is also an idea or a concept or a construct. Please forgive the background noise. I'm in Calgary and I still don't know the schedule of when the trucks go by to pick up the recycling and whatnot. So that's in the background a little bit right now, in case you can hear that on the recording. Or through the screen, I should say. So this right leg, coming back to that, working with a mental construct again, the mental realm of, my goodness, it's loud out there, the misperceptions that you have amongst yourself and cutting your own legs out from underneath you, or again, struggling with the truth of who and what you really are, what you know yourself to be, and others misperceiving you. And we're going to tap this part out here. So, invitation to breathe, to receive. And all of that is actually linking into the subconscious fear of I'll never get to know me. There's a subconscious fear here of I'll never get to know me. Through all those different misperceptions of being really cloudy to really take in the truth of you. So we're actually going to run a cellular repair, working with that. Restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health, and we're doing it for the spleen, which correlates to our subconscious minds. And we're working with lymphatic drainage as well through here. The spleen is considered to be like one gigantic lymph node, cleaning out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. You might even imagine that recycling truck, maybe it was a garbage truck, literally scooped up all of the energies and gets to go with that the sound of the garbage truck. And as we clean out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing through here, we're going to follow it up with running hydration, which helps cells to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. And then we're going to run switching technique, which helps to cope or deal with stress. And I think of it as any wires that were crossed, it begins to gradually uncross to open up and allow clarity to return. I'm going to work with restoration of clarity all the way through the spleen. The subconscious mind, almost by definition, is like the vault of the unknown, and it's doing so out of protection, making sure that you're not actually tapping into more than what you can actually really handle. And as we lighten the load of the spleen, it actually becomes a little bit easier to turn our attention to not having to protect via the subconscious in that way so strongly, and the veil between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind begins to thin. I didn't talk about it today, but I will at some point in the next month or so. I get into the five states of mental consciousness and how that overlaps with the five koshas. So some of you in previous years, the last year about Buddhas and Butterflies, were exposed to some of that information, and I will be bringing it in. So if you're curious, know that that's coming. And as we work here, we also need to run, excuse me, I got an itchy nose, hydration through the very midline, including the spine, the central channel, the Sushumna, and bringing in hydration to, again, take in water, joy, release any impurities through this midline, which is meant, it's optimized to bring in the essences of trust and surrender. It's literally your wiring, it's how you're built. As we clean out any distortions of consciousness through this midline realm, I invite you to breathe into it. Literally every breath, every inhale, inviting in new energy through this central line, channel, region, however we think of it. And every exhale is surrender without collapsing, but in a way that helps us to let go and release when the clutter that's been backing this area up. We're just sweeping the clutter away. Okay. And as that happens, we're also going to link the sides of the head to the sides of the hip, the temporal bones to the iliums. And this is working with the consciousness of digestion, supporting the body and being able to literally digest the stuff that's in its way of becoming clear. And I think of that digestion as sometimes getting stuck because we try to eat a buffet all at once, and that's like, ooh, way too much. So we just need to take a smaller bite out of those things that seem to be overwhelming, and there's no freaking way we could ever move through that. And begin to just delayer it bit by bit, breath by breath, bite by bite. Effectively known as titration. And then, as we work with these temporal bones, iliums, and that work with digestion, we're also going to work with vomer to xiphoid, which is a bone in the nose and then a bone at the base of the center of the rib cage. And this connection line is meant to actually invite in harmony. It's an invitation to open up the heart, which is really supportive for digestion. Really supportive of being able to digest our lives. And then we're going to work with the back of the shoulders to the back of the hips. And in essence, this is working through the more masculine layers, through the layers of taking action. And I think of it as now that we can harmoniously digest, the body is able to actually take more action to move forward in that way. As we realign the back of the shoulders, the back of the hips, we're connecting opposite sides. So left shoulder, right hip, right shoulder, left hip. And then we also need to release a fair amount of fear from basically re-engaging in something new or different. Releasing it through that iliopsoas muscle, which runs between the low back and the hip, as well as from the eyes. And from the eyes, we're also releasing any tension around having to constantly look out for danger that comes from having all that undigested content that says life's really hard, life's really scary, and I don't want to do this anymore. And we release that through the eyes, through the muscles around the eyes, through the nerve of the eyes. We're also going to run hydration through the eyes to begin to orient to taking in that joy, that pleasure, versus having them be in their typical habit patterns of always looking out for danger. As you release, in essence, hypervigilance in this way. I invite you to deepen your breath. And if it helps, even imagining that resource that you found earlier, that you get to see that in your mind's eye. We're going to tap this part out here, invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that another round of breath. And then another round of breath. And then one more. Excuse me. I'm going to imagine that we can do like a sweep of all the residue of all that old energy that's been moving through the system, that's been able to been repatterned. That residue, the shadow, the old. I'm going to imagine that we can gently sweep that through the body from head down through face and neck. Down through the shoulders, upper back, chest, through mid back, abdomen, lower back, pelvis, excuse me, all the way through the legs, upper legs, knees, lower legs. Feet into the very earth itself. It becomes this offering. One might even call it a blessing for the earth to hold that, to receive that energy. For the earth holds no judgments. By very definition, she's grounded, she's neutral. So, whatever she receives as energy, it just gets transmuted. And it becomes neutral, whatever was offered. So, as that neutralization happens, it becomes like fertilizer. It creates a certain type of alchemy. And that mutation of the old into the fertilized nourishment or nutrition offers something. Much like an incubator for something new to be expressed, to be born through it. So, as you turn your attention that direction, I invite you to notice what's blossoming forth now. In your imagination, you might even see or sense somehow some new life growing. Something new that's here that wasn't available before. To invite you to sense what that is. Whatever that is for you, we're actually going to link that all the way through to the right atrium of the heart, which, from a body talk standpoint, they think that's where the soul is stored. The Atman is stored here. And as we link these new awarenesses through to the soul itself, it's as if the soul gets updated on, like, hey, here's where all the mental, emotional, physical holdings are at. Once the soul receives the update, it can begin to infiltrate its message of beingness, or its essence of truth of who and what you really are, that it's inviting you to explore a little bit deeper, usually by means of inviting us to embrace our pain, our challenges, our hurts, and see what it's really been telling us all along, which is usually not what we think it is, by the way. And begin to turn towards cleaning out any layers of confusion of this realm. And as we do that, we're also releasing anxiety, fear-based anxiety around the soul, around what it means to transition or change. There's some shock energy here, which is associated with new changes, new beginnings. So as we turn towards something new and embrace something new, it's like this ripple of like, oh shit, not again. And all the shock that was stored from the very beginning of your very first transition, when you weren't even physically formed yet, when you were nothing but a soul departing from spirit, that shock that was there is informing all these other layers of shock through the mental, the emotional, the physical realms. And it's creating this idea that anything that begins, anything that's new, anything that's beginning to emerge, is greeted through this distortion, this layer of danger, this layer of not again, this layer of fuck this, I'd rather not, thank you very much. And then that gets oriented to all the things that you're actually trying to change in good ways. And so it creates this loop where we just get stuck within ourselves. It's the internal trappings of the Mexican crab syndrome. So Mexican crabs, you can put as many in a bucket as you want and they'll never leave, because as soon as one tries to get to the very edge, then like, boom, the rest of the crabs in the bucket will pull it back down. So in this way, we would become our own Mexican crab bucket enforcer. And as we begin to release the shock from the region of the soul in that right atrium of the heart, we begin to gently allow the attention to shift through those layers of distortion and misperceptions. We're going to tap this part out here, invitation to again breathe, to receive. Giving that another round or two of breath. As it begins to settle out here, I invite you to find your feet, bringing your attention to your feet, to literally ground in that all. We're going to link kidney one, which is the anchor point that connects us literally to the earth as we're standing on it, and helps us to receive the energy of the earth, and also allows any old electrical activity to be discharged, any excess free radicals get to be released and moved through here. And one of the things that we're actually releasing here is that shock energy that we mentioned earlier. Any extra residue or layers from the electrical charge activity from those old experiences of shock, get to move through here. And we're also releasing this idea of having to enable ourselves or having to basically reinforce our own suffering just to keep going or making our way through life. And then we're linking this through to the solar plexus chakra to really connect to another way of thinking about empowerment, personal empowerment. And here, working with the solar plexus's capacity to digest, as well as to restore that sense of where this all began, of embracing personal power. That moves beyond those agitations of that Mexican crab bucket reinforcement that I mentioned earlier. At the same time as all of that, working with that pattern and how it seems to show up in relativity between you and another. In terms of how it is you think that you might need to caretake for somebody else and how that is disempowering. The subtleties around how it is we are informing another. Like, I'll just do that for you. Meaning, I don't think you can do that. Which is caretaking in a nutshell. It cuts our legs out from underneath us. Versus that old expression of, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. Working with the empowerment that comes from when we spend time with another to help to remind them of their own strengths and to remeasure them, to clearly see them for the person that they really are. In a way that begins to reinforce the truth of their personal power. And then vice versa, getting to receive that. And as the expression goes, being the change that we want to see in the world and offering that out there so it in turn can be mirrored back in here. And ironically, not necessarily doing it from that standpoint of I have to give something to get something, but simply doing it because that seems to align for your essence and how it is you want to move through this life. When you're ready, when you're ready. So whatever layers that are around that, deepening into that, what shall we call it, authentic expression. And that's all linking through to the throat chakra to literally make verbal as well as nonverbal expressive contact, excuse me, with that energy of restoration of power. We're actually tapping that part out here. And as we do that, we're going to also just work with that sphenoid bone that hangs out in the center of the skull. It's thought to connect heaven to earth, to you, to this body mind, as well as to literally like the earth element, our spleen, our stomach, and all the earthiness of what it is to have a body. And as we clean out any twists, torques, adhesions. As we tap this all out, I'm going to invite you to breathe right into the very center of your skull. Breathing, receiving here. Giving that another round or two of breath. And then we're gonna head into the 10th house. Excuse me. The 10th house is the house of the triple heater meridian. It literally helps digestion through three stages to take in, to be able to receive the nourishment, then to release any particular bits that no longer need to be here, or toxicities that are ready to release. And as you work with that, excuse me, we're bringing in the consciousness of synchronization and integration, to being able to do all of that with synchronicity and in a way that allows for deep integration. And lastly, sensuality, being able to receive that in a deep integrated way that also gets to feel good and sensual, meaning you get to enjoy the digestive process again. As we set the stage and orienting your consciousness towards that, releasing any particular realm of thinking that you have to struggle to make that happen, that's like not your just natural hardwiring, and restoring realistic expectations, not from the way we typically embrace that phrase, which is often like, oh, get real, that's not going to happen, but restoring it from the sense of, get real, this is how you're hardwired. All those other misperceptions and confusions that tell you you can't are actually not realistic. Not real. They seem real, but they're actually not realistic. And we're linking that through to the gallbladder meridian as it runs through the side body and helps us to catalyze taking new steps forward, taking action in ways that we may not have thought of before. And we're linking that through to the sexual chakra to bring in the essence, the quality of new life, and what it means to really be here. To create and to recreate you. Every time we rebirth ourselves like we did earlier, there's a recreation of you. And if that's not power, I don't know what is. And as we work with that dance of shedding the old and destruction to creating the new, there's the quality of, we actually don't have to tolerate. We don't have to tolerate what seemingly has kept us relatively stuck. But that we actually have more power than we've ever maybe permitted ourselves to believe. And that's linking into the neuroplasticity of the nervous system, particularly at the ventral vagal branch, the parasympathetic nervous system, which is a very long, geeky way of saying your state of relaxation, your state of being able to be socially engaged, calm, curious, compassionate, playful, presence. And then we're tapping this all out here. It's an invitation to breathe and to receive. Giving that another round, two, three of breath. And then we're clearing out the pressure that you may put on yourself to take right action or to perform in a way that you were conditioned to do so or told that you had to be. And as we begin to loosen that up, it's actually coming off of the right side of the sphenoid where it becomes external at the temples. And we're linking it down to the right jaw joint, the TMJ joints, which also works with digestion. And here we're releasing the fear of being attacked. Fear of being attacked. And all the various control mechanisms we put into place to minimize attack energy. That might look like saying the right thing, going along to get along, not rocking the boats, and staying on message, staying on message. And so we release that through that right jaw joints. Running the permissions here of you don't have to be stuck here anymore. You don't have to be stuck here anymore. You get to change now. You get to change now. And we're linking that all the way through this again, entire right side of the body that's oriented to action. And we're bringing in the restoration of authenticity so you can do that from your true sense of self. And we're tapping this in here, breathing here. Giving that a slow, deep breath. Do that one more time. Then we're doing an emotional release of grief from the upper lobes of the lungs, running a body chemistry here. To clean out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. We're going to run lymphatic circulation. And that's going to further help that body chemistry in supporting the immune system. Releasing any toxic buildup, particularly fear and anger as it relates to grief. You know, when you're grieving, you go through stages of fear and anger. It's like that. There's this intertwining. And as we move through this, releasing as well any emotional overwhelm of something that says, whatever that is, it's bigger than you. Whatever that is, it's bigger than you. It's being defined by the essence, the consciousness of Shanti, peace. As well as santosha, contentment. And then we're linking that all the way through to the crown to bring in what the crown offers, which is transcendence, and we're going to tap this out here, invitation to breathe, to receive. And again, connecting to that breath, giving that two, three rounds of breath, let that move through. And then I'm going to invite you to touch in on that resource. I have a short song to play you. That resource that you found earlier. If that feels like that might be helpful right now in this moment, I'm going to invite you to call that in. And let yourself literally rest in that. If where you're at is already feeling really perfect, then just stay exactly where you are. And the song here is called Soul Flight. It's by Nalini Blossom.
So again, it is a great honor to once thank you.
Thank you for calling this energy in. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Blessings on the rest of your day. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. You're most welcome. I have a question in the chat feature about the ventral branch of the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve has two branches. There's the ventral and then the dorsal, and they do different things. So you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. And happy to dive into any of the theoretical bits in that you'd like. All right, y'all, have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day, your week ahead. And I look forward to 2 weeks' time when we meet again. Next week, I'm not available. I'm off facilitating a retreat for a week. So we meet again in 2 weeks' time. So you've got no shortage of old material to dive into, as well as for those of us who are new, going through the foundational content of transform emotions into energy will be a very useful exploration in the interim. Okay, y'all? Have yourselves a beautiful 2 weeks, and we'll see you shortly. Bye for now, y'all.